Hello, everyone, and welcome to Get Munched Up, the podcast and website that talks to you about food and film. This week, we have Ben's BDSM post, or Birthday Super Munch post, Beginners, a film that chronicles the love story between a son and, I was going to say a father, but that would be very awkward. but let's say it's a dichotomy between a son and someone who falls in love with him, as well as the father finding love, and as well as life and death. First off, we have Liana, who's joining me.
Hi. Is that my chance to talk?
That is your chance to talk. Hey. That's a perfect chance to talk. then we also have Andre.
Yo, yo, yo.
Jeez. And we are the group that will be talking to you this week about Beginners. We just finished watching Beginners. We've all seen it before, but kind of for my birthday, we decided to watch it all again. Initial quick and dirty thoughts, or do we want to kind of go into some of the themes that we saw throughout the course?
Quick and dirty thoughts. It was neither quick nor dirty.
Despite the R rating.
There was some side boob. And one naked illustration.
Yes.
That was as dirty as it got.
Oh, and one F-bomb, but that only gets you PG-13.
And we weren't even sure if that was definitely an F-bomb or like...
It was definitely saying, an F-bomb. It was
definitely an F-bomb.
Why are you confused about this?
All right. I don't know. All right. First question. Yeah. Do we think it was a good decision to go for the R rating?
Yes. Yeah.
Because if I was, say, 13, 14, maybe even 15, I'd go into this movie and I would leave saying, I snuck into an R movie and all I saw was side boob, I would not be happy.
So it was
I think what Andre's trying to say is that it eliminates an audience that isn't quite mature enough for some of the like themes and experiences in this movie.
Like, these are the guys who are sneaking into R movies to see like full frontal boob, not side boob.
It's definitely, all right, but to Liana's point, it's definitely not an easy film. It goes through a lot of highs and lows.
No, and to get the most out of it, I think you have to be at a certain age where you can relate to some of it or have you understand more of it. And I think you also, they wanted to attract an audience, a specific audience to that film. And like, you wouldn't want to expect 13 and 14 year olds who are sneaking in to be in a film like that. You know what I mean? Like,
there are
certain R-rated movies where you expect teens to sneak into it, and this is not one of those movies.
Yeah.
Like, you want it to be...
Talking Pineapple Express, Hangover 3.
Yeah, something Hangover like 2. That. And that is not one of these movies. Like, it's Hangover. Definitely more complex.
All right.
Hangover is one of, like, the movie that Lena has described where, like, you've got to kind of have experienced certain things in your life to appreciate it.
Okay, quick sidetrack. First movie that you've ever snuck into. Mine was Borat. It was a good one, too.
Oh, super bad. It was super bad for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Ben has still never seen.
Never seen.
Which means we have to do it.
That. Yes.
I just don't know if you're going to appreciate it.
I've never snuck into a film. I've never snuck into a film.
Oh, no, you
ever.
Can't.
Never.
It's not worth it now. I know.
Well, what movies could you sneak into now?
I meant snuck into as in you were not
of
17.
Age.
Right.
Yep.
Have you
18
also
in
snuck
Salem.
In?
You had to be 18 years old to see an R movie in Salem.
Classic Salem.
So I was sneaking into Superbad. Other movies I saw kind of illegally because I would go out of town to see. Independence was 10 miles away. The Salem movie theater was 9 miles away. So I was like, it doesn't sound cool when I say that because it was like barely any more effort.
Right, it does not
sound cool. It was not cool, to be clear. Ever.
All right. Let's get back on track. So, Liana, you were talking about the audience. What do you think the audience for this film was? I mean, it deals with a lot of themes. Mm. It centers around a straight romance, but also talks through a lot of the history and also centers on a intergenerational gay couple. What is actually the audience for this film?
I was initially going to say 20 to 40 somethings who are struggling with relationships, but then I thought about it, and it's not really fair because it's so much more than that because of the whole timeline of the dad and his whole experiences. So I feel like it's really open to anyone who has experienced sadness in a really profound way. I think if you've had that experience, which I think is actually most people, even though most people like to pretend like they haven't had that experience because it's not cool to be sad. Mm-hmm. I think if you've experienced any kind of real sadness, you will find your place in this movie.
And this is a film that's like profoundly sad to the point of grief at times. And there is that thread throughout that is
And there's so very many different prominent. Sadnesses too. That's the crazy part. And the thing is too, is it focuses on sadness and not so I didn't feel like it was depressing. You know, like there was
Oh
still,
really? Interesting.
Yeah, no, like I felt like Ewan McGregor's character, he was on this like precipice of like there was sadness, but he was still able to find this like he had this spontaneity to his character and able to find this joy and like really tiny little things and to just that I never really felt like I felt like he wasn't depressed because he was still going to parties even if he was sad and he was still trying to have this relationship even though
I felt like
sad.
He was dragged to that party though.
Yeah,
I didn't think that was his.
But
like,
he went though, and he was talking to people, and he saw an opportunity, and he took it. I don't know. I think
he was right because A, he was driving. He was the DD. Although I will argue later, he went home from that party wasted.
I have some points to that, but let's go into that. Let's talk about for a second. Let's talk about Oliver, the main character in the film, played by Ewan McGregor. Let's talk about
known better
driving.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi or Obi Kenobi for short.
Or Ben Kenobi, in some circles. But let's talk about his driving.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And let's talk about how they managed to make that a recurring theme in the movie. Because
multiple times.
It is.
Multiple times,
yeah.
It is. Here's the deal.
I think Andre, you probably have some very specific thoughts on this.
I do. So.
Andre's literally
looking at
like 6 pages of notes right now, and that's why we say that.
There's
rifling
a scene
through them.
In the movie you may not remember. So, if you've seen this movie before, I'll refresh it for you.
Or if you haven't seen
Obi Kenobi's at a Halloween party, and he...
Dressed as Freud,
or old Ben Kenobi, in a suit. I mean, he's got the beard, he looks a lot like young Obi Kenobi, but, like, he's got the... Anyway, so, he's at the party, he meets up with this girl... And they play this cute game where she points a direction and he drives. She points to the right, and he's supposed to turn right, but he takes the right over the curb. There's, like, curb. He goes, like, into the curb, not just a little bit, but, like, around a light pole and then turns right. And you guys both, like, chuckle, and you're like, oh, he's turning right, like, right when she said turn right. And I see you're ready to defend that stance.
No, actually, what I want to talk about is the fact that you've written all of these notes, and yet you have... misplace the first example of bad driving.
Yeah,
the first example
okay.
of bad driving I've is got, when they're gonna go do some graffiti street art and he's just casually driving and runs a red light and Ben was tuned in enough that he was like, I think he just ran a red light. And then we rewound it and he did.
Yeah. Because it was clear that a pedestrian walked right after.
Yes.
It was
through
subtle.
A red light.
It was subtle.
And here's the thing.
The first example.
This is why you don't teach your kid to drive when he's 10. Because he's going to pick up bad habits he's going to keep for life. That mom taught her kid to drive. You can just drive to the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
How many lights
do you think? Without any context. You're going to have to back it up.
He has a mom. His mom lets him drive to the bottom of the hill as a 10-year-old.
Breaking. He has a mom.
And this is at the time when he looks a hell of a lot like, but it's definitely not. Yeah, Oliver Kenobi's flashback. And, you would think he's had more practice than any of us because he started driving like 6 years before anyone else did, but he's very bad. Also, I thought maybe, okay, Oliver's in the car with his mom. His mom... You find out where Oliver came up with this cute game that you thought was original. No, his mom came up with a cute game. Because he's in the car with his mom, and his mom's like, where should I go? And he points, and she drives that way. I thought she was going to go up in the curb. She didn't. That was Oliver. Also, that was not intentional. He drove on the curb because he was blackout drunk. I'll tell you how I know that. Because he goes home with a girl. They go to sleep in bed. He wakes up fully clothed. Have you ever gone to bed fully clothed? Yeah, when you're really drunk.
All right.
Okay, no, but I'm not done yet. Not only was he fully clothed, he had...
Wow.
Okay, Like, I could see, like, I just happened to, you know, I just came home from a basketball game and I have my basketball shorts and my t-shirt on. I'm already in my bed clothes. I'm ready to go to bed.
Is this from experience?
Okay.
No, he doesn't do sports.
No. Okay. Well, here's the deal. Sports clothes and sleep clothes are the exact same clothes. Think about it. Okay. So, he is not going to bed coming home from a basketball game. He's going to bed wearing his dress pants. He's dressed up as Freud slash old Ben Kenobi in a suit. He's got three-piece suit on at the party. He wakes up still having two pieces of the suit on. He's wearing not just a dress shirt. Only animals would sleep in a dress shirt. He still has the vest on.
Question.
When he wakes up. Mm. He had to be so drunk, he just like...
Question.
Passed out. Yeah.
If you meet a girl at a party...
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to her room with her.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, she says, "Can we just sleep?"
Mm-hmm.
Would you then proceed to take your clothes off down to your skivvies
and not sleep skivvies, with her? But I'd take my fucking vest off.
Interesting. I don't know.
I would take my vest off.
The point was,
and maybe
trying
take
to
the shirt off too.
That Oliver, out of respect, like kept the clothes
kept the
on.
Vest on.
No, the clothes. Uh-huh. Like
also. Here's the deal. She tells him things she loves about him. I noticed this. She says, "You drive on the sidewalk." Not, "You drove on the sidewalk that one time." She says, "You drive on the sidewalk."
Okay. Oh, okay.
Terrible
so there's
driver.
Other scenes that's that fair. We don't
that's fair.
See.
Yes. Okay.
So
I rest my case.
Writing down, guilty.
Yeah. Drunk driving.
Oliver's
constantly.
A horrible driver.
Yes.
Okay. He is a all horrible driver.
Stick to Tatooine Done. Where you don't even have roads to
really
worry
really young.
About.
Mother was a little loose with the rules.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, that relationship with the mother. How about that?
Should we talk about that for a little bit?
Yes.
I think it's actually a very
it's sweet.
Touching moment in the film. Yeah. Like, there's a distinct sadness there, and you feel for the mother. She is in a state that is lacking the probably physical love she needs, even if there is an emotional love with her children.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear that she has been removed enough from that ideal of love enough that she kind of is a little cynical or jaded about life and like kind of trying to test those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's a really beautiful and emotional journey that ultimately ends kind of in that hallway, dark hallway, light coming from her single room. Which is actually the last time you see her. You see her literally walk into the light, which is just a very visually powerful metaphor. And I think it kind of brings together that whole journey for the mother and son in a way that's ultimately pretty beautiful. But there's a zaniness to the mother that I really like.
Yeah, and I think Oliver, in a lot of his scenes in the movie, gets to show how those early scenes with the mother helped him develop as an adult. Like, he still wants to take those chances and push those limits. Like, when he does the graffiti with his friend, but he does it in his own way, I feel like that's showing how his experiences with his mother helped him develop who he is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a child of both his mother and his father. Mm-hmm. And now that we mentioned his father, Christopher Plummer, a great role in the film. What was everyone's thoughts on the father?
Oh, he's great.
He's great.
I loved him.
He was. Yeah. He was. At first, I thought that he was Sir Ian McKellen, and then I realized he wasn't. Geez. But
correct.
I was like, oh, it's not Sir Ian McKellen. But then I was like, damn, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was kind of my
very wonderful role. And I think there's a scene in there that's like, kind of touching in a weird way. He comes home from a club.
This
calls
scene.
His son.
Yes.
And
Andre, you were really impacted by this scene.
You were really.
Yeah.
And he's on the phone. He's like, there was this music there, and it kind of went. What do you call
house
that
music?
Oh, that's house music. Oh.
And he writes it down.
Very interesting. Let's see. And there was also these small pills, white pills there with dolphins on there. And what would that be?
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy. Father. Oh, ecstasy. Yes. Oh, very great. Very great.
And you didn't have any of the ecstasy, did you?
Next question. Moving on. After the club, we went to this other room where there was men around, and they were doing unmentionable acts to each other. And what would you call that? How could I find that again?
Dad, I don't like.
Oh, yes,
I'll maybe just. I don't know. Go to www.google.com and just type in orgy and just see what happens. Like, I don't know what it means, but, like, I think that might be it.
Oliver, can you Google?
Please. www.bing.com.
Bing.com.
and then just Google.
How do you spell it?
Bing.
And, how would I access this, Bing.com.
Go to your dad.
Yes, Oliver.
You're on your phone right now.
Yes.
I know you have.
I am on my phone.
An iPhone 4S. Push the round button at the bottom of the phone. Can you hear me?
Yes, son. Yes.
Push that button twice real quick. Go back to the phone call, push the speaker button. You'll be able to hear me better during this conversation.
Okay, hold on for a second. Beep. And that's the end of the call right there. Unfortunately hitting.
The dad accidentally hung up.
But
parents and
sounds
iPhone.
Like Obi Kenobi goes straight back to bed.
It sounds like Hal had a wonderful night.
Hal
Fields is his name. That is Christopher Plummer's name in the
film. Okay, I was like, are we talking about 2001 A Space Odyssey?
It sounds like
he's
Hal
using code names.
Had a wonderful night.
I got it.
He had a wonderful night.
Hal?
Yes. It's still
was
his
that
name.
Was that the name of the dad?
It's still his name.
That's the name of the computer in 2001 A Space Odyssey.
We get it.
Hal Fields?
Not Fields. But
that's
just
his,
Hal.
All right, well, his full name is...
I think it's like Haldron Long...
I think the dad, in some ways, is both one of the, like, most humorous characters, but also one of the most, like, serious and tragic characters. Because, like, you have to watch him, like, he's both discovering this whole new world, and he's having all these experiences for the first time, and he's living as his true self without abandon. Like, he's being himself.
Finding his true self, very much later in life.
In his last 5 years of life.
Yeah.
So you also, while watching him discover and live, you're also watching him die, which is extremely sad because not only do you become attached to his character because he's so great and his performance is so moving, but also because Oliver is so affected by it and his boyfriend is so affected by it and he has all of these friends who will be so affected by it and you feel all of their sadness, and you're sad to watch it happen.
Yeah, you can definitely see him struggling on screen to kind of maintain the excitement he has for life while balancing the inevitability of death and his realization that death is actually really close. And there's a lot of moments there where he, like, looks directly into the camera, which is one of Andre's...
One of Andre's subtle drinking roles.
Yeah. The actual three drinking rules in this film being whenever the dog talks,
whenever sadness is mentioned,
and then finally whenever there's a still image, which is take a half drink for that. A lot of those.
It'll get you.
But yeah, he looks in the camera. You know he's actually speaking to Oliver in this moment, but like you focusing in on his eyes and like the several movements of his lips showing.
Yeah. You bring up the part that he's like, he's dealing with this tragedy, but still like experiencing this new joy he's found in the last 4 years of his life. And you say you see that struggle, but I think you see that struggle more in his son than in Hal. Like Hal, I think, is closer to finding peace, where Obi Kenobi is like, he's still struggling with the the fact that his dad's going to pass, and he doesn't really understand how his dad is, like, okay with it, or at peace with it.
He's not at peace with it.
No, he isn't, and I don't think he understands how his dad is, but you can see that.
Which I think
kind of... I don't see his dad struggling with it as much. His dad is always like, ah, well, let's not tell anyone I have cancer, I'm fine. Like, and he's smiling, and he's having parties in his, like, in his hospital room, and his son is, like, leaving the room because he just... I don't think he understands, like, he thinks you have to be sad all the time. Like, that's what the movie is. Like, he feels like he has to be sad all the time. He's learning that you can, like, you can... find happiness. You can find love in a hopeless place.
And there's, I think there's a distinct realization between a man who recognizes he's lived his life and a man who is just beginning to realize that he is in the process of life. I think there's an interesting difference there. Any other thoughts on the film?
Yeah, I have one, actually.
I have a couple questions.
I have a question too.
You go first. Let's start with Liana, and then we'll move on to Andre. Liana, what is your question?
This is something that came up for me in the Halloween party scene.
Yes.
When Oliver meets Anna for the first time.
Yep.
And
Anna, played by Melanie Laurent, I believe. Lauren. Very well done. Nice subtlety to her character, but continue.
Yeah, so Anna has laryngitis, and she can't talk, and she's brought this...
I have a point on this, too. Go ahead.
Probably have points on everything, Andre.
She's brought a notebook to convey messages to people who talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole experience is very, like, oh, here's this unique, kind of odd girl who's so captivating, and Oliver is just, like, immediately enthralled and very interested. And... even though it's so well played in the scene, I do feel like this is a recurring theme in movies where there's this, like, interesting, quirky girl that everyone is just like, oh, she's so cool because she's quirky.
Yeah, kind of breaks that, like, in their minds, that typical girl mold to what they realize. And then here's this girl that is different in their mind.
Yeah, but here... The point that I'm trying to get at is that I feel like, do these girls actually exist in real life?
Well,
like,
yeah.
Are these real, like, party experiences?
Yeah.
Like, do you meet the quirky girl and just, like, completely fall for her? Because I feel like, in real life, the quirky girl is weird.
Yeah.
And when people do weird stuff,
they're like...
Yeah,
quirky girl's weird.
Yeah, quirky girl's weird.
No, I feel
weird. No, but I totally
what I mean is quirky. In media, the quirky girl is the cool one who gets the guy, but in real life, the
you're
quirky
talking
girl
about the,
is alone.
FX show New Girl.
It's not FX, it's Fox, and I'm serious. I'm asking because this is something that I've struggled with in my own life where I'm like, oh no, if I'm unique and interesting, that's what people will care about. But then every time I feel like I've tried harder to be unique and interesting, I've been weird.
I mean, it is that kind of cliche in media of the manic pixie dream girl in a lot of ways, where it's like, here's this girl that is unique in a very distinct way, could be called weird, but also still has everything, the looks, the personality, the spunkiness, if you will, that ultimately falls for the guy. And I'm sure there's girls out there that are, can kind of represent that in real life, but I think the idea that there's just this one girl that, like, the singular girl that is at a party that is different enough to, like, catch everyone's attention, like, is definitely a cliche that has, I don't know quite what I'm trying to say. I haven't completely wrapped my mind around it.
But yeah.
It's a cliche.
It is.
What you're
it is. Yeah. And I feel like it's one that's not talked about very often either.
And she kind of fills that role.
Here's the thing about Anna. Like, you don't realize until you think about it, but she's a pretty weird person. Not just quirky, but, like, who is she? Think about it. The first time you see her, she has laryngitis and she shows up at a party. that's weird in itself. If you had laryngitis, would you go to a loud Halloween party? Probably not.
Maybe. Second of all,
she has the sweetest suite that she's living in for one full month. That's the kind of place that's like $600 a night. You saw her hotel room. A hotel room that has, she had like multiple arrangements of chairs in her room. That of room is extremely expensive. And she lived there for one full month that we saw in the movie. We don't know how long she was there before. But what did she do while she was there? Like, what was her job? We don't know.
I think he mentioned something about a shoot. Like,
no, she's an actress in LA trying to make her job come true. Probably doing some shoots here, some modeling over here.
She's also in New York, which is, yeah.
Like, those are two hot spots. I mean, if we're going to get down to it and try to break down the reality of every scene in every movie, I think we're going to be here all day. Because, hey, movies are pretty ridiculous if you actually think about them. But that suite was probably pretty expensive.
Pretty sweet.
I think you just have to accept that Anna's there, and it's for, like,
she's just there.
Maybe she made a long-term arrangement with the hotel. Mm-hmm. They got a thing. She does some modeling for them on the side.
Crazy idea. I haven't really thought this through.
That feels means like it's going to be really good.
No, seriously.
All right, let's hear it.
What if Anna, I'm thinking this out loud right now, what if Anna isn't a real girl? It's just Obi Kenobi coming to terms with his father dying. Like, she is his, like, mental foil, like, helping him come out of this.
Then whose apartment did he show up at in New York? Was he just like
a random person?
Did he break into someone's apartment?
Maybe he's finding a new life in New York. I don't know. Like, I mean, he's leaving his old life behind.
There is a real connection between the kind of life that Oliver's father leaves and their relationship. Mm-hmm. Oliver's father going through these highs and lows between kind of connecting with his sexuality a little more, having this enjoyment of finding out who he really was. And in the film, those are kind of laid next to Oliver and Anna finding each other, having some enjoyable moments, some spontaneity, ultimately leading up to the death of Oliver's father, Hal. And that same moment in the film, you also see Anna finally deciding to move in with Oliver, and then they have that fight. And so there's a kind of sense of sadness and movement and progression throughout the film that correlates to the life force of Oliver's father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's definitely something to be said about the relationship of Oliver and Anna correlating to
his, like, healing.
I think Anna also either brings out or enables Oliver to, I feel like, act in a way in which his mother would be proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets to be spontaneous with her, and he gets to break rules with her. And whether he just feels comfortable enough to do that with her, or she gives him the strength to do it, I think that's also supposed to be something that signifies their bond, in that I don't think Oliver ever would be happy with someone who didn't let him do those things, because mm-hmm. Those are the most joyous points of the movie. And I think that's, you're supposed to see those similarities between his interactions with his mom and interactions with Anna and see how joyous and fun and spontaneous they both are.
Yeah. And I do think the choice to have Oliver go as Freud in that Halloween scene was a very active choice in kind of trying to get the audience to recognize that, hey, the impact that Oliver's mother and father had on him is going to kind of play out the rest of the film. In that, like, we will see connections between how Anna's character plays a role versus how his mom, specifically calling back to the point which direction to go, and things like that. So it's definitely very purposeful, and I want to kind of use this moment to also talk about the aesthetics of the film, and that there's a very clear aesthetic throughout, and I think this is a movie shot by someone who cares about the visuals and the design. Like, he's a designer by heart, Mike Mills being the director, and has kind of thought through what he visually wants the film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Whoever did the lighting was spot on, because it had that same dark quality without being... You know how some films are just, like, very, very dark? I feel like a lot of action films are very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't that kind of film, but it has... There's a lot of shadows and depth. Yeah, mm-hmm. Moodiness to it. And I felt it was carried throughout the film, and it was very well done.
All right. So I think we have time for a few other thoughts.
Oh, Andre, yeah. I have one, like, segment I think we could try out called Spoofs and Goofs.
Spoofs and Goofs.
Wow. Let's hear it. Episode one.
This is where
title
you find,
and everything.
This is where you find goofs and spoofs in the movie. And I found one.
Keeping this a secret? Like, you saw it and you didn't know?
I did, yeah. You see in several scenes Obi Kenobi wearing wool dress pants. And this is a goof because have you ever seen a graphic designer wearing dress pants at work?
Yes.
Stretch at best.
Okay. That's all I have for spoofs and goofs. Do you guys have anything else?
Well, let's talk through that about. In my current position... there used to be a associate creative director who worked there who came in every day in a suit.
Wow.
Very fashionable.
That's a power move.
So, yeah, very much a power move. So, yes, I've definitely seen someone in dress pants.
I believe he used the past tense there.
He is no longer at the company.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Okay.
It was a good kind of break. No drama there whatsoever. But, all right, spoofs and goofs.
Spoofs and goofs. Anyone else?
To be honest,
I wasn't looking for any.
This is neither.
This is a recurring bit. Like,
I didn't
keep an eye
know
out for it.
This is going to be a segment.
Yes.
Like,
it's
if you're going to make a segment, you have
this.
To tell the other members.
No, you don't. Not necessarily.
Not
I will
fair.
Say
you saw a spoof. What, or was it a spoof or was it a goof?
Neither.
Okay.
But let me walk through this.
Wait,
I was paying very close attention.
Can you define what a spoof is?
What's the difference between a spoof and a goof?
Yeah.
A spoof? Okay, here's the deal. It's going to be easier to start with a goof. A goof is when the filmmakers didn't know they fucked up. A goof is when the filmmakers were like, let's put this in just for fun.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
okay.
know.
No, wait, sorry. A goof is when filmmakers fucked up. A spoof is when filmmakers are like, let's put this in just for fun. We'll spoof
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
Are you Googling
neither
spoofs?
Neither a spoof or a goof.
Googling what is a spoof.
No, this is for the purposes of this segment.
All
right. Oh, no, he's right, actually. A spoof is a humorous imitation of something.
Okay.
We're going to have to give that to
wow.
him.
This
We're
is correct. But... active Googling during our podcast is going to kill this podcast.
No!
But I was paying a lot of attention to the scene and after Hal's ultimate death to see if he was breathing or moving as Oliver. And there was no movement or breathing. So
okay.
Solid job across the board playing it.
So just to be clear, we're still in the spoofs and goofs segment.
Totally.
And you brought up something that was neither a spoof or a goof.
I just wanted to say I paid attention to that.
No, I think Ben was saying that despite the fact that you gave him no warning that this segment was happening.
He was looking out for a spoof or goof.
He still paid enough attention
yes.
to possibly find a goof,
also,
which
let's,
he did not. Because
let's take this all
well
back. Let's
movie.
Take this all back. Senior year of high school. Spanish for AP Spanish, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forget what film we watched, but we watched a film in which, spoiler alert, at the end of the film, the guy dies.
Oh.
You can see as
Romeo
the lady is kind of lying her head on his chest that he is still actively breathing. And I could actually
so
have this totally
then.
Wrong. It could actually be the girl who died. Annoying media.
Romeo and Juliet.
It's probably the girl. But very clearly breathing both out of her mouth and her chest moving up and down. So, well, that is why I paid attention to the death scene.
Here's what I think happened.
It changed you.
Here's what happened.
The way you watch movies forever. All right,
Ben, you're explaining a lot of confusion. You said, this guy looks like he's dead. Or it's a girl who looks like she's dead. Here's the deal. Guy looks like he's dead. It's Romeo. He looks like he's dead. He's not. Girl kills herself. Wait. I can't remember exactly how Romeo
and Juliet. That's just not actually how
One person in Rome, either Romeo or Juliet, pretends to kill themselves.
Romeo and Juliet takes a poison that essentially fakes her death.
So she's probably still
breathing. Romeo kills himself seeing that Juliet.
That's why
Juliet wakes up, realizes that Romeo's dead, and then
actually
comes out. Right. So it's probably that scene that you were seeing. Where one person was still
there was
alive.
Only a single death, and
he's supposed to be dead, but no.
Okay, you never took Spanish. All right, let's.
I was in Romeo and Juliet. I was Paris.
Well, I was the prince, so we all have our roles in there.
Isn't Paris prince?
I do not remember the.
Were you the one that Juliet was supposed to marry?
No.
Okay, you weren't Paris then.
I was the prince that essentially comes in with his proofread clothes.
All right,
yes, yes.
Oh, I had a couple questions to ask.
All right, let's hear them. And then we'll wrap up. We'll wrap this podcast.
Yeah, we're getting towards the.
Hopefully, everyone.
Well, I have a lot of
this first.
I have a lot of questions.
Podcasting.
And if we're trying to wrap it up, maybe I'll just rapid fire through the questions, and all you right. guys can let
good.
Me know.
Quick,
what,
all right,
we'll
what
stop you. Round. We'll stop you when we're interested.
This is a quick fire round. Uh-huh. We each have 30 seconds to answer your question. Andre, go.
Well, okay.
Drinks
what?
In hand.
Okay. All right, what Black Eyed Peas songs would we play at specific times in the movie?
I think we decided Where Is the Love is perfectly timed for the opening. So
okay,
done.
Wonderful, Ben. I would say hashtag Where Is the Love,
the
10th anniversary Apple released song featuring The World, plays perfectly. There was a moment there where Oliver takes out a letter. And the music ramps up, and it's just such a powerful moment.
Oh, so good.
Hashtag
so good.
Where's the Love?
I think that they should have played...
No. You have,
You ask the question.
Ask
I
the
have
question.
Answers for all the questions I have asked.
Wow, that is presumptuous.
I think
presumptuous.
This is my segment.
Let's
We're
hear it.
At 38 minutes.
Let's
I don't
hear
think
it.
We can go
that,
any further.
This is rapid Let's fire, and you're slowing it down. I think they should have played Hey Mama at that scene where the mom interacted with the art.
All right, next question.
Do you think Obi Kenobi drew those drawings? I do.
Oh my gosh.
No, I think Ben covered this earlier when we were watching the movie. The director actually did the drawings.
Correct. Next question.
Okay. Remember that scene where Freud is at a party by a couch? If you went to a party where Freud, a guy in a Freud costume, was sitting by a couch, would you lie down on the couch? What would you say?
Oh,
I'd say, damn, this is a comfy couch. If it was a comfy couch.
You would say that.
I think for me, it depends. Like, am I there alone? Uh-huh. Is it awkward? Like, do I need a break from conversation? Do I know the guy?
Uh-huh.
I think
Is
if
the guy sexy? Is he good looking? Is he
can
someone
you tell
I was
going to
say
can
that,
tell
but with
the beard
and the costume, you probably can't tell. So you're probably
tough.
Just going... Like, I would say if I needed
Also, we're
a
married,
from...
so I'm still curious about what your answer would be. Keeping that in mind.
Purely hypothetical.
I was saying...
If the guy's sexy, do you lie on the couch or not? I'm curious.
I was saying if I needed a break from whatever I was doing at the party...
Mainly
that
being
seems,
around Andre, right?
That seems like a safe place to go and have like an easy into the conversation.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Okay.
That's a good point. All right. It really depends on the mood I'm in that night. How much I've had to drink or other
and what
intoxicants.
You're drinking, probably.
Correct.
Yeah.
Very correct. And let's... It really depends on the person in that chair.
Yeah.
Like, who's playing Freud?
You've never met the guy before.
I've never met the guy.
No. Put yourself in Anna's shoes. Also, you have laryngitis.
If I was feeling very bold, yes. Otherwise,
fortune favors the bold. 90%
of the time, I probably wouldn't. Let's be honest. 90% of the time, I probably wouldn't even be at that party.
Like, and then is there some guy at the party who lies down on the couch and, like, doesn't get back up? And then what does Freud do? I don't know.
That's
that wasn't one of my questions.
Yeah,
I was
like,
just spitballing.
What if you don't
there.
Like the guy?
Next question. Right. Would you go to a party if you had laryngitis? I wouldn't.
It depends again. I guess now I probably
All right, no
wouldn't.
Depends, no depends answers. You have to go hard and fast.
Okay. Today I
this
would
is
not
speed round.
Go, but if I was in college and I felt like it was the place to be that weekend,
it's
I would
Halloween
go.
Weekend.
Yeah, you're no. So if I was in college, I would go.
Yeah.
And I would find a way.
Yeah.
I would not go.
No?
No.
No?
No.
I wouldn't either.
Pretty easy.
as I said before. I don't think anyone was listening, though.
Right.
This we kind of covered a little bit, but I'm going to ask it. There's a scene where Daddy asks what house music is, and he... Yeah. What house music is. Yeah. And he writes it...
What is house music?
No. He writes it down on the pad. Yes. My question is, what else do you think is on that pad?
Great question.
I think we already went over that.
I mentioned that in my preamble.
Let's each have one answer, though.
Uh-huh.
Leanna, you got something?
I think he's going to ask about a specific type of shot. Like, he says, someone was ordering blowjobs. I didn't know what that meant.
What's a blowjob?
What are they?
What's a blowjob?
Yeah.
No, that's and how we phrase it. What's a blowjob? And then just let Obi Kenobi answer that one.
Of, does he mean the shot?
Like,
does
you just got, you act? Got a call, you woke up middle of the night, 4 a.m., dad calls, what's a blowjob?
All right, for the uninformed, what is a alcoholic blowjob? What is in that?
Is it like Pinnacle whipped cream?
I don't know.
There's whipped cream because the way you're supposed to drink it is it's supposed to leave
like some cream on your face.
No, it's on the table and you're supposed to like put your whole mouth over it and then
no hands.
Tip back, no hands, swallow it, and then drop it back down.
Okay, not easy. Not easy.
And very embarrassing.
I think what else is on that pad is probably the numbers to the hot guy he met at the club. He brought that pen and paper along with him.
Just like Anna. In this universe, everyone has a pen and paper.
Also, there was no 4S in 2003, but...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good point. I forgot this took place in 2003. I said, I bet he asked what a Fergie is. Next question.
Everything goes back to the Black Eyed Peas.
Remember how? Yeah, that was kind of a recurring theme. Okay. Obi Kenobi gets his dead dad's mail, and he has a magazine that has. It's a gay magazine. It has two guys wrapped up in one flag, and the featured article was "Out for Votes." What do you think that article is about?
2003? Prop 8?
Oh, 2003. Oh, my answer is not relevant.
You really missed. You thought through the questions, but didn't necessarily think through the answers as much. No, it couldn't have been Prop 8. I think it's just about voting for LGBT rights. The whole that's a reoccurring theme.
Okay.
Even though the recent passing, not even recent passing.
I nailed it.
Here comes the cat, Tango, on schedule.
Breaking in.
Oh,
what this?
Oh, what
this?
He's
stepping
over our
drinks.
Don't step on the keyboard.
Oh, wow.
This is our audio engineer, Tango.
Is that whiskey? Oh, man, what's this?
We should probably let everyone know at this point. We are currently sitting
in our closet. We're trapped in the closet.
Yes. There's not much else to say.
Like the R. Kelly song.
The cat just...
Okay, so I forgot this movie... didn't come out this year, and I thought it was an article about how Trump came out just as a way to appeal to the gay voters. Out for votes.
Well, the gays love Trump.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's what he's going for.
And on that note...
I have more questions. You might remember this quote from the movie. I want to try real Mexican food and try page 56. I think these two things are linked. What is on page 56 that requires eating real Mexican food beforehand?
Oh my god.
A recipe for authentic refried beans?
You forgot the book that they were reading.
What book was it?
It was like the Kama Sutra, but
it's
with
a
like
number of sex positions you can try.
Remember, was the one R-rated scene in the entire movie. No, I'm talking about in the library where she found the sex book that made it R-rated.
I'm confused.
Next question.
Yeah, moving on.
How old is the dog? I think 103.
Is that dog years?
No.
He's a very old duck. He's very knowledge.
I'm going to go with 9.
I'm going to go 11.
Human also, years. My theory, Obi Kenobi did not go as Freud for Halloween. He went as his dog, and that's why he brought his dog, so everyone would see
and
who he's dressed up as for Halloween.
That note.
Hold on. Just last question and answer. Last why question. Is Anna in the sweetest suite for one full month? I bet she's Fergie's personal assistant, and that's why she showed a picture of the London Bridge and said she had been there because that's where they got the inspiration for the hit single London Bridge came from, and that's because Anna was there with Fergie.
Thank you for joining us on this first foray into the podcast. Get munched up. We have Andre, farthest in the corner. Thank you very much for your incredible questions. You can leave
Q&A
out
Q&A with Andre. That's the name of the segment we're trying out.
30 seconds left, Andre. Then we cut you off. Anything left?
I thought because the movie was rated R, they wasted the sex scenes with PG-13 sex scenes.
And thank you, Liana, for joining us again today. 30 seconds. Let's hear what you got to say.
I think our biggest takeaway from this episode of the podcast is going to be that Andre needs less airtime.
Less airtime for Andre. Great, great suggestion. And I am your host, Ben Mello.
Oh.
You are cut off.
No,
wait, I tell you to stop talking.
We didn't even talk about the food. And I just wanted to say, jerky is one of those things you never consider making.
But it turns out you can.
Next time we will talk about the food. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Imagine we have sponsors here and that we're making tons of money based off of this, but we don't. So if you are a sponsor and you want to sponsor us, come talk to us.
Yes, please. Food is expensive, and we have to rent these movies.
Definitely. And you can get us
$6 each.
getmunchedup@gmail.com. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, we also take reader comments and questions. Send them along.
We're Get Munched Up everywhere.
Yeah, Get Munched Up everywhere. Twitter,
We're Get Munched Up everywhere.
Inc. Get Munched Up.
Not Get Munched Up everywhere.
Read our content at getmunchedup.com. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Bye. I think we nailed it.
You are out of control.
That was something.